Good morning. Yes, it's that simple. Jesus loves me. Sometimes we get so deep in theology, we feel like we have to have these great thoughts. But the fact of it is, it's not what we think, it's what he has done. Christ Jesus loves us. I got to start this, hang on. Boys, you got to settle down because mama bears are looking. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this fifth Sunday after Epiphany will be taken from the Gospel of Luke. And I had kind of prepared for this message, and call it what you want, but the Lord told me to get rid of that, and we'll see what he does. We pray that he will bless the reading and the encouragement in his word. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. And if you are willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. Gospel of Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake. But fishermen were gone down out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let your nets adraught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help. And they came, and they filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all they were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they were taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships aland, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. Father, all the more we ask that you would reveal yourself in and through this word, that you would strengthen us, that you would allow us to see your goodness, that you would sanctify us in the truth of your word, for we know there is no other truth aside from it. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus had just done some pretty large miracles. He did some amazing acts that people were just kind of astonished with. He had healed so many that were sick. He has showed in reality the power of the kingdom of God over all illness and all struggle that came before him. And then he turns around and he goes to Simon's house, and he sees that Simon's mother-in-law is laying there with a fever. She's very ill. She has no ability to do anything for herself. She's basically helpless. And they turn, the people that are there, they turn and they actually beckon in her behalf, asking that now Jesus would do something about this illness. And he comes into the room and he rebukes that illness. And that illness, it says, leaves her to the point where she gets up. And she begins to serve. Not just partially, not just feeling better, but fully capable of serving. And really, this brings out an understanding that we are all benefactors of the goodness of God, who has given us in reality great healing. And he calls now in this healing that we would not be self-servant, but we would in reality serve those out there to help, to minister. You turn around and you look at this and you think, this is just awesome. But he's going to bring you into that direction with this next text. See, he healed somebody in a home that people were begging him to heal. She gets healed. She gets up and she shows instantly the heart of service. The scripture is not written willy-nilly. It's not just out of random. It always continually, as a continuous letter, bringing you to the next direction. We as human beings, we've added these chapter breaks. We've added, in reality, all of these verses and things like that. Then it turns around and it comes to this point. It says, on occasion, while the crowd was pressing to hear him, actually hear his word, the word of God. See, this is a great thing. They saw the miracles. They saw all this wonderful stuff going on. But they still had a desire to hear that word. Because remember, everywhere that Christ preached, they were in awe and they said, where is this coming from? Who has this authority? Who has this power? He was standing. He was standing by a lake, and he turns around, he sees the people coming at him. He can't get away from them. And it's pretty cool how he does this. He makes himself his own amphitheater. And I've explained this to you before. I remember one time when I was out at Lucky, and I went to the office. And if you don't know much about Lucky, you don't know where the office is. But the office is past Camp Jacob. And I had two chairs there, but they disappeared. I don't know where they went. So now I have one sole chair, so nobody else can come out. It's only for me, I guess. But the chair is there, and the reason the chair is there is that's the only place at Camp Lucky you can get good phone service and get 4G to be able to send emails and stuff like that. So I was sitting in the chair. And there were these two ladies out kayaking, and they were quite a ways out. And they were chatting up a storm. I could hear everything they were saying. And then all of a sudden, one of them tried to whisper and said, oh, there's a guy sitting up there. And I said, yes, there is. And they all just started laughing because you could hear it plain as day. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he went out into this boat. He had an audience, and he wanted to proclaim so that they all could hear him. They didn't want someone in the back row going like this. Sometimes we have to learn to speak up. It was just brought to my attention again at a funeral. I used the regular mic because people come up and do readings. Well, sometimes when you back away, I mean, you don't even have to do that. All you have to do is move your head a little bit, and you can't hear. But Jesus was using the acoustics in his favor. And so he saw the boat sitting there, and the fishermen were gone out. They were washing their nets. They just got in from a long night. This is really what this brings out. And I think this is kind of cool to another degree. Too many times when we get, done with our work, get done with our thing, we're just too tired to do anything else. I marvel at that. Now, we'll do a lot of other things, but I marvel, like, I've heard different individuals, and hey, I feel that way. This morning I woke up and I honestly sat in my chair having my coffee, and I thought, today would be a good day to stay home. And if you do, that's okay, it's a liberty. I can't, I gotta be here. Steve won't preach. But the fact of it is, these people had gotten done a long day, and they were asked to do something else. And they did it. And I marvel at that when we come around to the understanding of, like, say, Bible study. We have Bible study here every Wednesday, and we get a good crowd, and I praise God for that. And I know our lives are busy, and this isn't a guilt trip to everybody. If you life is busy, life is busy. But if you're desiring fellowship, if you're desiring to have more communication, if you're desiring for things to do, feel free to come. And if you need a ride, let us know. But the fact of it is, I have some 80-something-year-olds. I mean, come on, Brother Jim. It didn't matter if it was a blizzard. He was there. They had gotten done a long night's journey. They were out fishing all night long. I'm sure they were tired. They were cleaning up the job. And they're getting onto one of the boats, which was Simon's. He asked them, he says, put out a little bit from the land. And so then he sat down. And so then he was teaching them. He was encouraging them. He had more to minister to the people. They desired to hear the word of God, and God was not going to let them down. He gave it to them. And I'm sure many people were encouraged here. But that's not what this whole text is mainly about. Remember what I said. Jesus turned around and he healed Simon's mother-in-law. And she went into service. She was brought to restoration for a purpose. So then you turn around and you understand that. Now, when he was done speaking, he turns after they had cleaned their nets, after they had done everything. They'd been out all night long doing their job, and they caught nothing, and their nets were cleaned, and you know, you kind of put it all away. It's almost like when you're painting something, and then the wife comes back in after you wash the brush. Hey, hon, you missed a spot. There's a holiday here. You got to go out and do it again. Well, this was a bigger thing than a paintbrush. So anyways, he tells them, he says, take and put down your net. Put down your nets there in the deep, he says, for a catch. And it's interesting because Simon turns around, or Peter, if we want to call him Peter, he turns around and he says, Master, teacher, we've toiled all night long. We've been out here all night long and we haven't caught a blooming thing. Skunked. But yet at your word. Do you think his words had power? Do you think they saw the work of the kingdom in him? Because, you know, we get to be kind of a little ornery when we're tired. When we've worked all day long, we come home and we got to do an extra thing. Not only did they have to bring their boats back out, but now he wants them to take these nets that have already been cleaned, and he wants to put them back in the water. And you almost picture in someone's mind, what's the use? We've been doing this all along. Nothing has changed. What's the use? But God. And that is the ingredient, if I could say it in a very carnal sense, that is always a game changer. They always say there's no buts in life, but God. In reality, when God says to do something, it changes everything. He says, by the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. Because of God. We have circumstances in our life. We have difficulty in our life. We go through these kind of struggles where oftentimes we wonder, how can we even get there? How can we even overcome this? By God. By listening to his word. We have, in reality, a handbook, and I hate to treat it so trivial. That is an instruction for our life. But oftentimes, Jesse wants to turn to something else to get the instruction. Jesse wants to turn to something else that maybe has more meaning. But in reality, it is God through his word that preserves, that strengthens, that gives us the ability to do the impossible. Not what we want. Not by my own wishes. But by the will of God. Now remember, he told him to do this. It wasn't Peter sitting in the boat saying, well, since we got, you know, the big guy here now, let's drop these down. Making him the sugar daddy. It was by the instruction of Christ that he was obedient to. Too many times, Jesse wants to make sure to cling on to, as I told you the other day, cling on to something like this just in my hand and start demanding things. It is by opening it. By reading it, by praying on what this word would speak to us, to encourage us, to be able to go out there and to accomplish. But we have a government. We have all these other things. We have 7 steps to healthy living. We have 12 steps to sobriety, which is good. But even that, in reality, will turn around and bring you to God. It is always by God and through that faith. It is not by my own understanding. Put out a little farther. Drop your nets that we can do a catch. Simon's like, we've been out here all night long, but because you spoke it, we will act in obedience. And when they did this, what does it say? They received more than they could even haul up. They received more than their nets could even hold. That when they started pulling on it, the nets in reality were ripping. It says actually the net was busted. To me, once again, I'd turn around and I'd say, well, see, feast or famine, can't do nothing about that. Might as well give up and pack it in. Is that what they did? No. They saw the bounty of God. They saw what was going on there. And they turn around and they actually call over the other guys. Guys, it's good over here because he has spoken. Now we are instructed to do, and I think this is so cool. So they signaled for their partners and the other boats to come and help them, that they came, and they actually started to fill these boats to the brim, where they could barely float themselves. Does it sound like, you know, the few fish, the few loaves? There is a purpose to this. Jesus wasn't just trying to fill them up on fish so that they could have all the galamoyaka they wanted. There was a purpose. They were frustrated by their night of toil and nothing happened. And yet Jesus speaks and they're obedient to what he speaks to them. They saw his power. They saw what he has done. He has shown himself to be faithful. So they do it to the point where they can't even haul it in. And Jephthah in his negativeness would say, well, that's an impossibility now. We might as well give up. Now it's too much. I can't do this. Do we seek the help of others? That's another point that's in here. Peter wasn't so greedy that he didn't want anyone else to get involved. So many times we feel a call from God and then we turn around and think, well, it's just mine. I have to do this. I have to control it. I have to make sure who's in and who's out. I got to make sure all of it is orchestrated according to the way I see things to be. Peter saw he was in over his head. The blessings of God were just too much. So he called others over to enjoy it. Otherwise, they would have all lost out. Come on over. Fill your boats. And they began to sink. What does Jesus do? What does Peter do? Peter's astonished. This worked in Peter's life as testimony of who Christ was. The fish didn't matter. It was in response of this miracle that Peter really turns around and he falls in a worship state. And he says, get away from me. Because I am not worthy. But Christ came to make us worthy. That's the whole thing. And Jesus isn't going to leave Peter in that state. In our humanness, sometimes Jesse, being a little twisted as he is in a human being, he'd say, yeah, you're right. You're not. That's why I'm here, to straighten you boys out. But Jesus doesn't do that. He encourages him. He encourages him that he has a greater purpose. That Peter, I'm going to do good things with you. When Peter saw this, he fell on the ground on his knees saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. What do I have to do with thee? Can you imagine this? For he and all that were with him were just blown out of the water, no pun intended, astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And then it gives us some indication. Also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. They were into this together. And Jesus turned around and he says, Simon, I want to say this in my way. Get up. Get up. But he says, don't be afraid. From now on, you have a larger purpose. You will be catching men. There's something that I think is deeper than this. Sometimes in life, we have a tendency to feel like that things are just so overbearing that we can't see ourselves past it. And then when God blesses us, we think oftentimes, and maybe you don't, but that's okay, I do, that, well, now I must have to control this. I must have to deal with this. I must make sure that this is all going so well. It's not just about me. It's about his body coming together. And he's called some of us, I think he's called all of us to a purpose. Don't get me wrong there. But he's called all of us in our own individual purposes also. To, yes, work together to glorify God, but that we would also have a purpose to serve him. And it's an interesting thing because he's going to take care of those that are left behind. And I think we miss that in this message. See, he's going to call Peter, James, and John to be his apostles, to be fishers of men. And he understands, because he's God. He's not heartless. He understands and he knows the responsibilities and the abilities that we have in our homes. But did you ever think that they, before they get called out, had the largest haul that they've ever had in their life? Indicating that God not only will take care of them and has a purpose for them, but he will also take care of the families that depended upon them. We forget that at times. I've had this conversation with another individual whom I enjoy very much. And he's struggling right now, and he's dealing with health issues that are very powerful. And he turned and he told me, and actually told Cheryl too, in the office, that all he desires is to be here long enough to take care of his wife. But the one thing that we can assure him is that the same God that takes care of him will take care of his wife. And that's what we need to remember. God is not calling us either out of this life or into a different position in life and forgetting everybody else. He will take care of them. Because our God is gracious, and he desires for restoration, and he desires for all of us to know him and to be encouraged. After Jesus is resurrected, there's another scene in the scripture where he turns around and he actually is sitting on the beach. And the apostles don't know what to do because Jesus is gone. So what do? They go back to what they know. This scene. They go back to fishing. And Jesus turns around and he says, "Hey, you guys catch anything?" "No." "Drop your nets on the other side of the boat." That's a Heikki and Toivo joke, isn't there? "You fish on this side or this side, and it's going to make a difference?" They're like, "What?" "Whatever." And they do it. And when they do it, by that miracle, they couldn't even lift the fish again, right? And Peter turns around and he remembers this scene because it's powerful to him. That was his calling. "Peter, I got it. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of everybody." Peter turns and he takes off his outer garb. He jumps in the water and he runs to Jesus. And they bring the fish to shore that nothing would be wasted, don't they? There's another key in that text. When Peter and them get to the shore, what do they find? There's already a fire. There is already fish on the grill. Jesus didn't even need what they brought. That was a bonus. Dinner was ready. My wife has a statement that she likes to make, and it's been a lesson to me so many times in my life. Before we ask the question, God has an answer. He allows us to go through circumstances. He allows us to go through trials and difficulty. Because in reality, it encourages us to rely on him all the more. To know his goodness. To know his privilege. We live in a difficult world, there's no doubt about it. We live in reality in fallen bodies that will eventually pass from this life. God does not give us cancer. I don't believe that. I've been through cancer. I've gone through 30-something treatments of chemo. And I never once believed that God gave me that cancer. I live in a fallen body, in a fallen world. I will die of something. But God preserved me from that grip for a purpose. He may not give it to me, but he allowed it to bring him honor and glory. And I stand before you 10 years later still wondering when that clock's going to click again and it's going to happen again, but yet fully assured, I am here as a testimony of his goodness. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God is not going to forget about you. And he's not going to forget about your family. Be assured of this, because he loves you. He created all things, and he looked upon it, and he said, it is good. We are good in his sight by the finished work of Jesus Christ. May we see our nets full. May we enter into this world in encouragement, and may we glorify him through the tough times and through the blessings. For Jesus' name.